Not white privilege.
That you're missing the point. And
the sorry point, to confuse you with facts.
You're not. It's not the. That's the. Okay. Here we go. Yeah. The Asian experience in America, yeah. The Asian immigrant experience, yes. Is very different from the black experience.
Yes.
So it's really they're not equivalent. And either way, white people, males, set the system. So that's what privilege is that white people set the system.
Oh, there we are. Good morning, folks. It's 6 minutes past six. Grant Edwards here with you on the Liberty NZ podcast. The world gone mad here with Grant Edwards. Right. Now, we've got a new system here. We have a whole new computer and just sort of getting to grips with it. I hope it's coming out all right. I think it is. And we'll have a look at the weather in just a moment. But anyway, let me tell you what happened. Well, I've got these things here. I haven't got a camera to show you, but I blew up my fans in my main computer. And I did what my son told me not to do, and that is I put them up, I used the air, an air clean, an airbrush, you know, what? Not an airbrush, a compressor, and to clean them out, because they're getting a bit dusty, you know, with all the dust, and it's a bit dusty here. After about 6 months, it doesn't get that bad, though, does it, Digger? No, it's good, you just leave it, and the dust doesn't get any worse after a while. I know, that's why I like living with you, because, you know, you're not fussing about sweeping up and vacuuming and all that sort of stuff, which creates more dust, doesn't it, mate? Yeah. Anyway, so it's going to be probably another week before we get the main computer up and running, so it's all a bit higgledy-piggledy, but we're getting there. Anyway, let's whip over to the weather forecast and look at the extremes first of all, and the Auckland's got the highest temperature at the moment, in Manukau City, 17.8 degrees, Omarama, it's always as cold as I won't say, my friend used to say, very cold, cold as charity, my mum used to say, Omarama, 6.2 degrees down there, and it gets down to as low as minus 9.8, yeah, I think last year, around about June, July, got down to, minus 9.8. The windiest place to be is Castle Point, 50 kilometres of wind per hour there, and Wanaka is the wind rainiest at the moment with 3.4 millimetres of rain falling per hour. Temperature in Stewart Islands, 5 degrees, in Invercargill, 9. Dunedin's on 12, Timaru, 13, Chatham Islands, 11 this morning. Queenstown has 8 degrees. Over on the west coast, 10 degrees in Franz Josef. Westport's on 14. Dunedin, 10. And Blenheim, 13 degrees. Across the Cook Strait to Wellington, and Masterton and Wellington are battling it out for first place there with 15 degrees each. And Napier has 16. Palmerston North, 14. New Plymouth, quite warm and toasty there this morning on the west coast at Mount Egmont. It is 18 degrees. Taupo and Rotorua, 12 and 15 degrees. Gisborne, 17. Tauranga has 16 degrees this morning, 15 in Hamilton. Auckland on 18. Whangarei a little cooler there with 15 degrees. And Kaitaia has 12 degrees. The short forecast for all New Zealand valid until midnight tonight. In the west from north into Kapiti, including the central high country, cloudy periods today. A few showers increasing for a time in the morning and afternoon. For Coromandel Peninsula, the Bay of Plenty, fine spells, brief showers this afternoon. For Gisborne and Wairarapa, and also Wellington as well, we'll throw you in. Mainly fine weather today for the Wellingtonians, but a few showers developing about Wellington and the Wairarapa this afternoon and evening with southerlies. We're going to have a change to southerlies. There we are. Marlborough and Nelson are the top of the South Island. Fine weather, isolated showers this morning and afternoon for Buller and Westland. Also Fiordland, rain developing this morning, heavy with possible squally thunderstorms and then easing to showers this afternoon. Canterbury, Otago and Southland, rain or showers spreading north this morning and then falls increasing from afternoon. Did I say that? Oh, spells, fine spells. Oh, dyslexic, can't read. Then fine spells increasing this afternoon, southwest gales about Dunedin and Clutha in the morning. And finally for the Chatham Islands, cloudy periods, showers developing from the afternoon. There we are, that's the weather. We'll come back and have a look. We've got that Baltimore thingamajigamy, haven't we? We better have a look at that thing there. We're over at, where are we? We'll have a look, also see what happened on this day in history, the 27th of March. We'll look at that. And we'll go to skynews.com and see what's going on there, the old sportsman. Ministers up in arms, but the big story this morning would be the Baltimore, a cargo ship crashed into one of the pylons, and the whole thing came down like a, look, there's a picture of it there. I'm over, where am I now? I'm at onenews.com, and it's terrible. And I watched the video last night, and it just came down. The mayor of Baltimore said that the emergency personnel were on the scene. Oh, yeah, we know that. We'll actually be hearing from the mayor and also the chief of police as well. I'll be back in a moment. Look, I wonder if you can see. Can you see what's going on? See what I'm doing? I've decided to let you see how I operate here.
Interesting facts that you may not know. Human sleep is much more bizarre than we think. Not sleeping will lead to death faster than not eating, according to research. When you don't eat anything, you can last up to 21 days, but only 10. If you have a habit of staying up all night, you have to quit immediately, because one night without sleep, your body will need up to 4 days to recover as normal. If you don't sleep within 24 hours, your mind will become very stressed, high blood pressure, and impaired immune function. After 72 hours of not sleeping, you will have symptoms of a crazy person, such as hallucinations, lethargy, paranoia, and neurological disorders. The average person needs 10 to 20 minutes to fall asleep. And if you fall asleep in less than 5 minutes, you may have a lack of sleep. A very effective way to improve sleep is to sleep without clothes. Sometimes you suddenly wake up in the middle of the night without knowing for some reason. It's because your heart rate drops to an alarmingly low level. Send an emergency signal to wake your body up.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah, I'm off work. Yeah, sick. Yeah, yeah, I've got COVID.
This is Katie Hopkins.
Yeah, how do you know? Oh, I did a test. Oh, right. You did a test. Yeah, I did a test to see if I was sick. And I am, because I've got COVID. And what does that mean? Oh, that means I can stay off work for longer, because I have to protect you. I have to stay at home to save your life, because I've got COVID.
Katie Hopkins, okay. Thank you, Katie. I'm not sure where she is now. She was at TNT Radio, but they've laid off a lot of people. 46 people they had there, 46 presenters. Now they're down to 26 or 25. So they've all gone west, including Germ from Germ Warfare. He's gone. Katie Hopkins has gone, and quite a few others have gone as well. Not so good. Now I've got a bit of comedy coming up, a bit of a tax hack from Ron White. Remember him? Gosh, he looks like an old drunk now, but he was great. Went back in the 70s. He was a very funny man. He's a bit crass now, though, I find, a bit crass. Anyway, we'll go over to One News, and we're looking at the latest stories there. Job ads fall, number of applicants rise. According to Seek, according to the site's New Zealand Employment Report, the number of job ads declined 3% last month and are now 15% lower than in 2019. Otago University, they recruit ketamine trial for treatment-resistant depression. If you want to not be depressed, you need to just get out of bed in the morning, get out of bed early, go and do something with your hands, boys. And if you're a girl, do knitting or something. If you're a woman, we've upset a few girls, just lost a few. Look at that lovely moon up there. I'm just looking out the window of the studio, and there's a big full moon shining on me. Oh, that's probably why I'm a little crazy this morning. Looking further down the page, and the guy there looks like a werewolf. It looks like Jack, but it is Jack Black. There we are. So if you want to go and see him, there's a quiz that they have over there. And what's a fair flavour distribution in a bag of Macintoshes? Marie from Waikanae, she's contacted Fair Go, saying it seems like half her bag was coconut. So the show went to RJ's to find out how the toffees are sorted. And, dear, tributes flow in for the Australian TV presenter Jesse Baird. Baird was allegedly murdered alongside his partner Luke Davies by Luke Davies' partner. Is your homo? Might have been one of those triangles, those love triangles. I don't know. Police officer Beau Marie Condon. It's unfortunate. It's just because it hasn't got an M on the end. You'd really be in trouble, wouldn't you? In Sydney, they're investigating there. And New Zealand's still importing battery eggs. Oh, is that what they are? Oh, okay. I wonder why they're reasonably priced. Well, so that's all. They just get rounded, don't they? They greenies ban you here, or the animal lovers, the people that don't like you eating animals. Yum. They don't like you doing that. So what do? At 15 minutes past six, well, they what do we do? Well, we just go and import them from somewhere else. And that's not good for our economy, is it? No, because it's ruined. It's actually ruined an entire industry, avian flu. It's ruined the chook industry here in this country. There we are. Just say it simple. Then we know. We don't get tricky. A significant amount of imported animal products are produced using this method that are illegally local, according to the report. It's illegal here, but so we just bring them in from China. So we're eating Chinese eggs. They probably use, what would they use for sort of, that'd be disgusting. Oh, gosh, we don't eat them. So I eat my own eggs anyway. And I'm not very happy with my chooks at the moment. No. Anyway, they're battery hens. Mine are battery hens at the moment. I feel like giving them a good battering, I can tell you. I give them 1.4 kilograms of food every day, beautiful food. plus a bit more actually, and they're free range. They don't need that much. There's only 10 of them, nine of them, including eight or nine. Oh, I lost count. I think I've got nine in total. Nine hens and one rooster, Booster, his name is, and he keeps the ladies in line because women need, you know, and hens, they need to be kept in line by a good rooster. So Booster, that's his job, but I'm still pissed off with him because I'm not getting, I get three or four eggs if I'm lucky, you know, and those old battery hens, boy, they used to produce, I mean, I think we had about 13, and man, I used to get six dozen a week from those girls. They were brilliant. We bought them for $5. They were sort of retired ones. I don't think they were full battery girls, but they were the red shaver, and they are the best egg layers, I think, and they just pop them up. Out they come. My daughter said maybe they're egg bounders. Oh, not egg bounders. You know, apparently you put them in a bucket of warm water, put the lid on, poke a few holes so they can breathe. You know, that's a bit of a snore, isn't it? So it's more of a... How fast would a chook breathe? It's pretty quick, isn't it? It'd be quicker than a dog. It'd be like a lizard drinking, wouldn't it? I'd say that'd be quite... yes. Anyway, 17. Well, it is the moon. The moon is shining. Lunatic. 17 minutes past 6. And so anyway, significant amount of imported animal products still coming in. Even though it's illegal here, we bring them in from overseas. Unusual earthquake activity has been detected at Mount Ruapehu. Each earthquake brought less than 10 minutes of ground shaking and didn't visually look like the volcano tremor traditionally seen at the site, so that could be, we can watch this space. Now, the dire emergency has been declared after the major Baltimore bridge was struck by a ship. A major Baltimore ship emergency person on the scene, rescue efforts, and we'll go over to Sky News now and we'll hear a report, the latest report from Sky News. We'll just go to World, United States. And that should pop up there. This computer's a wee bit slow. You'll just have to forgive it there. So here we go. We'll hear from the police chief, the Baltimore police chief, Jesse somebody. And Paul Murray is the news anchor here. Go, Paul. You're on,
so mate. We stand by to take you to the United States here with live comments from the officials investigating what's been happening in Baltimore. These pictures live at about 6:30 in the morning local time, about 9:30 in Sydney, Melbourne and Canberra.
My name is Chief James Wallace. I'm the Chief of the Baltimore City Fire Department. I'm joined this morning by our Mayor Brandon Scott, Council President Mosby, Councilwoman Porter, County Executive Johnny Oshevsky, and Baltimore County Fire Chief Joanne Rund. Our brief this morning will be an update on the search order. County Executive Johnny Oshevsky and Baltimore County Fire Chief Joanne Rund. Our brief this morning will be an update on the search and rescue operation that's ongoing at this point. So at approximately 0140 hours this morning, our 911 center dispatched a call to the Baltimore City Fire Department for a report of a water rescue in the Patapsco River in the area of the Key Bridge. As units were responding, they began to receive numerous calls indicating multiple people in the water. At some point during that chain of events of calls, we began to receive indications that a ship may have struck the Key Bridge. We got further information through multiple calls that the Key Bridge, portions of the Key Bridge had actually collapsed.
Sorry about that, folks.
At about 0150 hours, our first unit arrived on scene and reported a complete collapse of the Key Bridge. We were also given information at that time that there were likely multiple people on the bridge at the time of the collapse, and that as a result, multiple people were in the water. We were able to remove two people from the water. One individual refused service and refused transport. Essentially, that person was not injured. However, there was another individual that's been transported to a local trauma center that is in very serious condition. At this time, we have multiple air assets from the Maryland State Police, as well as the Baltimore Police Department, as well as multiple marine assets from around the region, including Baltimore City, Anne Arundel County, Baltimore County, as well as multiple local and state police agencies, National Resources Police, BPD Special Ops Unit is in here, Maryland State Police is here. We have multiple resources. We are still very much in an active search and rescue posture at this point, and we will continue to be for some time. We have a large area that we have to search. This includes on the surface of the water, subsurface, as well as on the deck of the ship itself. We believe at this point we may be looking for upwards of 7 individuals. That's the latest information we have. However, what I will say is the information that I'm giving you right now is as of right now. That's what we know right now. This is a very large incident. It involves a very large footprint. Multiple agencies are operating. Therefore, information is subject to change as we get more intel and as our crews work through the morning. Over the next 8 to 12 hours, you can expect to continue to see our air and maritime assets functioning out on the water and in the air above. We need to do damage assessment of the ship itself before we can board that ship. And we need to continue our subsurface search, which is including different types of sonar. We have side scan sonar. We have other sonar capabilities here. We have underwater UAVs that we're working with. And throughout the night, we've also been working with infrared technology, both from the air and on the water surface. So I'm going to wrap up here with just saying this continues to be a search and rescue operation. It continues to be a very dynamic operation with multiple local, state, and federal resources involved.
There we are. And just repeating that, so two people have been rescued from the water after the Baltimore's Francis Key. Francis Scott Key Bridge collapses, according to the authorities over there. It is all a bit of a mess. Okay, so now we'll go over to go back to New Zealand news, and we've got that business about the 10-minute ground shaking, haven't we, at Mount Ruapehu? And dire emergency after... Oh, yeah, we got that. Yeah, that's Baltimore news. Cabinet takes greater control over the Ministry of Disabled People. It comes after the Ministry unveiled a number of changes this week, or last week, to the disability funding. Also, remember that story? It's over on my Facebook page, actually. I wonder if I can quickly find you that. It's a very long story. We're going not to my personal one, but to the Liberty NZ podcast Facebook page, and we'll just have a quick look down there. There we are, the Patriots. Jaspreet, is that Jaspreet there? Gosh. Okay, so I'll just see if I can find the one that's terrible, actually, about this young boy. He's never been before a judge. He's never been convicted of any crime. And yet they say he's too dangerous to be released to the community, and he's been locked away for 20 years. And they've actually been very cruel to him as well. Here it is. This is barbaric. I said, how's that for barbaric treatment here in little old New Zealand of an intellectually disabled young person locked away for 20 years without conviction nor a trial, and he just broke a few windows? That story you can read at our Facebook page under the Act. Half a life spent locked away. He never appeared in court, there was no trial, and he hasn't been convicted. And that is shocking. His parents and even Tony Boshier, the retired ombudsman, he's trying to get him out of this these institutions. If they're drugging him, they're cruel to him, they are torturing him. And this goes on in New Zealand. It's happening now. And this has got to stop. We've got to stop these people doing that. And I don't know whether they're experimenting on people. Who knows? But you'll find that, and quite often interesting things pop up, and I pop them up on my Facebook page because I'm old, and you know, that's all. I don't know anything about all the other things. Twitter just leaves me cold. I don't understand. Snapchat, what's the other one? Instagram, all that stuff. I just too old to learn it. Too old. 25 minutes past 6. Good morning to you, and we'll have a look, see what happened on this day in history. And just a moment, gosh, that's me there with my daughter when I was young, and she was young too. She's 26 now, and she's expecting a baby. Her first, isn't that lovely? So I'm transitioning into a grandfather. So that'll be fun to watch. I wonder if it's twins. I hope it is. We need to do our part, don't we? And so let's go over to what did I say I was going to do? I forgot. Facebook page, New Zealand Herald. Well, just make sure there's nothing else there. Oh, they're still getting stuck into Glory Vale. Lawyer. He files a legal action against the government agencies. It comes as cameras have managed to get into the Christian community's commune in India for the first time. Well, how would that be related to Glory Vale? I don't know, and I don't want to read it. I just haven't got time. It goes, six more haka groups advance to Te Matatini. Oh, good for you. And US Feds search Sean Diddy Coombs' property under the probe. And there's been several sexual assault lawsuits against Coombs in recent months, including a lawsuit from the R&B singer Casey that was settled last year. Second man arrested after the fatal Gisborne 21st brawl. Well, you live by the sword, die by the sword. I put a little piece up there on our Facebook page as well. 27 minutes past six, I think. No, 25, only 25. Oh, my clock's ahead. Oh, we'll go with the fast time. We'll go with the Grant Edwards time. A rise in extreme violent content online, tip of the iceberg, according to a group. No, don't believe it. It's all just designed to take away your freedoms, folks. Stop you talking to one another, sharing. They hate it, boy. They hate it when we tell the truth. They don't like it, and they're doing their best. And Jacinda Ardern, she's up to her armpits in it. Anyway, this brawl, it comes as, getting back to the brawl in Gisborne, it comes as police yesterday afternoon named the two men who died in the altercation on Lytton High. That's right, my wife went there. Lytton Street on Saturday. Because they're gangs, aren't they? Let's face it, they're Black Power or something. Probably mongrels ended up turning up to the party uninvited, 21st, and the next thing you know, there's knives everywhere. And as I said, live by the sword. I didn't say this. I've always said, you hear something, or someone great once said, and you name the person, and then about 5 years later, you say, someone once great said, and then 5 years down the track, you say, I've always said, don't you? You sort of claim these things. Okay, rise in extreme propaganda there. And Second Library cancels Rainbow Storytime. Good. So the Storytime event amid a safety risk. Oh, they're pussies, aren't they? Hastings District Council attributed the cancellation to disinformation being spread about the upcoming library program. What, they're having flipping faggots up there talking to your kids? No, thank you. And shame on you parents taking your little toddlers to terrible things like that. Shopping over Easter. Well, now Easter too. Remember, Easter is not the time that Jesus died on the cross. The Passover. And Passover comes before the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. And that year, if you read Sir Robert Anderson's book, the Easter came after. According to Acts 12, verses 3 to 4, it says, these are the days of unleavened bread. And then he says he waited till after Easter. Who's he? Well, that's Herod. Herod, he was waiting till after Easter. And King James is the only Bible that gets it right. All the others, just because it's a Greek word that says Pascha, doesn't mean to say it's translated in the same English word. Rule number one. No, it actually is. The context of it is Easter. And it's true. And King James, well done, gets it right. Because Herod's wife was a pagan. And she was waiting for her Ishtarte, her Easter egg goddess. Worshipping goddess of fertility. That's where the eggs all come from, you see. Nothing to do with Jesus. So Easter is not Passover. Jesus died. He was found. The tomb was empty just after Passover. And that's the beginning of the seven-day period of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, which is symbolic of a remembrance of when they went out into the desert. First of all, God fed them manna for the first month. Fed them bread, actually, unleavened bread, and then manna after that. So there you are. So first the Passover, the Feast of the Lamb, put the blood of the Lamb over the doorposts, so that all those people that are inside there, symbolic of being in Christ, all those people in there, and the blood of the Lamb is over that lintel and down the doorpost, you're safe from the destroying angel, which was probably Michael, came in to take the firstborn of every the firstborn of every family. And yeah, so now, but this here, shopping over Easter, here's what you need to know. So they've got, there are no special rules affecting trading on Saturday, but the rest has been going to be broken down. So if you want to know what's going on with Easter, when you can go shopping, go out and buy your smokes and your booze. Booze will be open all the time. They don't have any rules for booze. They want you pissed, don't they? OneNews.co.nz have got the latest on that. Now, and it's under the heading Shopping Over Easter. Here's what you need to know. Oh, by the way, gosh, we're not going out. Oh, we are going out. Yep, well, we're going out. I thought we had a problem there for a minute. No, we're okay. It's 6:30. Good morning to you. 6:30. And five big things that happened yesterday, the 26th of March. We're at the 27th of March now. A Karen number. We'll just do the headlines. A Karen number plate draws a complaint. New Zealand Post confirms significant job cuts. And Jack Black speaks at her breakfast. That would be, who would that be? Hosking, Mike Hosking breakfast about the turn of Kung Fu Panda, the return rather of Kung Fu Panda. The Bren Duan's going to open for 6 days over the Easter holidays. That's good, isn't it? New Zealand Transport hopes the reopening will be a brief reprieve for local businesses, freight companies and holidaymakers ahead of the final closure block next month. It's unreal. Wellington DJ chosen to tour with Fred again. What, again? Yeah. In Australia, though. 21-year-old is going to be travelling to Australia with the international DJ, Fred again, for an upcoming gig with all travel costs covered by the artist. And White Ferns are looking forward to a chance to square the series against England. New Zealand are on a high. Not that kind of high. They're on a high after an excellent recent T20 win in Nelson. Another at the Basin Reserve in Wellington tomorrow. That's today. Hang on, what have we got? It's going to be today, is it? Oh, okay. Would square the series. So let's. Oh, they'll all be down at the Basin Reserve today. I don't think John Ansell will be there. He was at the pub last night. Spoke to him. He wasn't pissed or anything like that. They're lovely. He was down in Featherstone, actually. He might have been in Martinborough. Beautiful down there. Lovely old places. And a lot of people got in there and spent a lot of money dicking them all up, beautifying things. A new brain drain is possible with job losses, Employment Minister says. Louise Upton, she says New Zealand's best and brightest are fleeing offshore. An unfortunate reality of a recession. We're in a recession. The Serious Fraud Office appeal against New Zealand Foundation acquittal dismissed. Two men handled donations for the foundation. They were accused of obtaining nearly $750,000, it's Kiwi Pacific pesos, which isn't worth much, by deception between 2015 and 2020. They're still rearing its ugly head. Auckland is sceptical of the mayor's ambitious plans. A poll shows almost half the voters didn't want to lease out the city's port, according to the poll commissioned by an advocacy group. Oh, yeah. And apparently we don't like our coffee in cups anymore. You know, those little reusable cups. We want them in a proper pottery one. Reusable cups have plummeted in popularity. So how do we make them cool again? Don't. At least 70 people dead after a van collides with a cargo truck. I thought it was going to be a cargo ship. Look at that old beat-up police car over there in the Philippines. A 10-wheel cargo truck was loaded with sand and gravel. Ooh, nasty. And was negotiating a downhill road when its brakes apparently malfunctioned. They would have failed, got hot. Ooh, red hot, and failed. And it caused it to slam into a passenger van with 10 people, 17 dead. It was a 10-wheeled cargo truck that hit them. Aucklanders are sceptical of the mayor's ambitious plans. We talked about that before, and now they're repeating everything. It looks like, now are we going back in time? Many bus and train youth discounts are going to stop in Auckland and also Wellington. Government's axed the funding for subsidies there, introduced last year. Bathroom heaters, apparently a voluntary recall after causing fires. MBIE said it was aware of at least 15 fires of overheating events associated with these heaters. Why would you want a heater in the bathroom for? I like getting, you have a cold shower just before you get out. Perenara on the Pohaka protest. I stand by women. Oh, I bet you do. Anyway, Nelson rallies to save beachfront path project. There we are. Nelson, lovely place. Lived there for a little while, a year or two. Nelson's a member of parliament, is pushing for a shared pathway to go ahead after it was dropped from government's transport priorities. And a fielding teacher's punishment doesn't give the children justice, really. Let's see. She's probably a Christian. They're getting into her, making things sound worse than they really were. Really are. She smacked them. Oh, heaven forbid. We used to get beaten. Seriously beaten. Then we get a flipping good flogging from our parents when we got home. You wait till your father comes home, my mother would say. And then I'd run under the house and hide. Then dad would come in after me. And I'd say, Dad, is she after you too? I remember that. Anyway. And hang on, where are we? Oh, now, so the early childhood teacher, she locked children in rooms. Oh, terrible. Smacked them when they were naughty and fed them out-of-date food. Well, what's wrong with that? That's what the Indians give us from the local dairy. Out-of-date food. It's good for them. It's good for the kids. Up in Northland now are working poor. Apparently they're living in cars due to a housing shortage. Meanwhile, some iwi, that's tribe organisations in Northland, are reinventing themselves as housing providers. So you should, because it's all our money anyway, in an attempt to address the problem. All right, let's have a break. It is 25 minutes away from 7 o'clock. We're not going to have any news from anywhere. Let's go to Ron White, just a quick skit from him. Here's a wee tax hack, how to get around tax.
And I wasn't paying my taxes, so, you know, it seemed like I was making even more money.
Paying those taxes is very important.
It's very important, but if you don't pay your taxes for, like, years, and then you end up making a whole bunch of money, you can pay those back taxes in one night. And they go, okay, here's that money. We're square. Yeah, we're good. All right. Thanks right. for the loan.
Right.
I needed the money then.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Right. They don't care until you get a chunk of change.
Yeah, and then they'll come get it, but that's okay with me.
Yeah, you're listening to The World. That was Ron White. You're listening to The World at World at 6 this morning. Sorry. I was up at 5, but you really got to be up at 4 if you want to do this professionally. Anyway, it is 24 minutes away from 7, and the Lincoln-Riley Act. Let's have a listen to that.
The Lincoln-Riley Act was just passed in the U.S. This means that any illegal alien who commits a crime, any crime, can be detained and then deported back to their home country. The act was passed with an overwhelmingly majority of 251 people against 170, including over 30 Democrats that voted for this act. The disturbing thing is 170 Democrats voted against passing this act, meaning that if illegal aliens committed a crime, they would still be allowed to stay in the U.S. This shows how much the government actually cares about its citizens. If this act was in place, Lakin Riley would still be alive, because this person that killed Lakin Riley had already shoplifted, but nothing had happened to him.
Okay, good morning. You're listening to The World Gone Mad with Grant Edwards, and it's part of the Liberty NZ breakfast, I suppose. The Liberty, they're not Liberty. The Liberty. Who says the Liberty? Liberty. Jacinda Ardern, the Liberty. Yeah, that's why they call her Jacinda, because she couldn't say Jacinta. So they swapped the consonants from a T to a D. Jacinda is easier. We're overlooking at Brian Tamaki and his boys. They've been busy with the paint. I wonder if it was an airless sprayer where they've sprayed over the rainbow crossings. But what a silly thing to do to graffiti our crossings in the first place with this perversion, really. I mean, it's not a perversion. I mean, it is a token of God's that he'll never flood the earth again with water and destroy it. The earth will be flooded, but not destroyed. Next time he comes back, he's going to do it with fire. So, that won't be so good. Anyway, so looks like Tamaki, they're up there. They're into it. They're doing it. Gisborne Mayor, she's no place for bigotry. You old faggot, you. Oh, you're probably not a faggot. No. Piece of wood. Don't insult sticks. All right, Grant, I won't. But anyway, looks like Tamaki. I think they've sort of claimed responsibility for it. The Gladstone Road Pride Crossing. They called it a Pride Crossing. Well, Pride comes before destruction. Pride comes before a fall. It's been painted white in an apparent protest. That was Saturday night, I think. It might have been Sunday night. What about to now? Tuesday, isn't it? Let's have a look down the bottom there. Oh, it's Wednesday. Oh, for flipping heck. You better hurry up, mate. I've got to get a roof on my little house that I'm building at the moment. Because it's supposed to be Easter's not supposed to be that good. We'll have a look at the long-range forecast in a little bit, in a while. Anyway, Gladstone Road Prior Crossing, blah, blah, blah. Jack Black, he speaks to breakfast about the Kung Fu Panda return. The actor's been in Auckland for a few months, and he caught up with entertainment reporter Richard Martin. New Zealand Post confirmed significant job losses amid mail decline. The company has previously said more than 700 jobs were on the line. And Indonesian soldiers accused of torture. There's a video involvement there, and you see a pair of handcuffs there in the video. A video that emerged in recent days on social media shows men who appeared to be soldiers kicking, beating a drunken And dunking the man in the barrel of water. Well, that's what you do, isn't it, when you want information. Where is he? Where are the bombs being held? Where is he? Where is it? Where's the ammunition? And they chuck you in the water. It's better than being waterboarded, isn't it? Where they, what do they do there? They sort of put a cloth over your face and they pour water. Oh, man. Oh, I'd hate to be tortured. I say, oh, I'd just spill the beans. I don't know, would I? I don't know. You don't really know what you do until you're put in that position, do you? I think, I've done okay a couple of times, but you just don't know, do you? You don't know. No one really knows how they're going to react. Apparently, there's a girlfriend of mine years ago. She's a journalist, actually. She told me there's two kinds of people in the world. There's three. She said when a calamity happens, you know, something really serious, like a big, just a disaster. There's two or three types. I'll see if I can remember them. The first one are people that are called responders. They get in there and they help. They're helping everybody do what they can. Then you've got the ghouls who just sort of stand and watch. They're frozen and they just sort of stand there and watch while people are dying and needing help, and they're frozen, can't do anything. They just stare. And then you've got the looters. Yeah, that's the third kind. And she said that you don't really know what you are until it happens. So the looters go out and, robbing, taking money, and, going and breaking TVs and Nike shoes and stuff like that. So those are the three types of people, and that's the three personalities, I should say. Three personalities, and you don't know what you are until it happens. Pretty sure I'll be a responder. We all want to be responders, don't we? Four youths have been arrested in Auckland after a car stolen in Rotorua. It's just the latest in the last 7 days where groups of youths, they have allegedly fled police and stolen vehicles. Fled police? Come on, boys, step on it. There's been a portrait of a Maori man sold after 6 decades hidden away. I don't think so. I think this is a Maori scam. Yeah, that's what I think, and I'll tell you why. Because I had to Google at that news item because this piece of art here I'm over on my Facebook page now at the Liberty NZ in New Zealand, Liberty NZ Facebook page. Portrait of a Maori sold after 6 decades hidden away. I don't believe it. Is this guy a con artist? Yeah, he got shifty eyes. Hasn't he? Yes. He could actually just be holding. It's more than likely been painted by the great New Zealand forger himself, the great art forger, Carl Sim. He's no longer with us. Carl Sim, I remember interviewing Carl back in 1999. I found him to be a likeable rogue with a great sense of humour and a passion for excitement. That was old Carl Sims. Sat there in, where were we? Over in Jervois Road, a little cafe there in Jervois Road back in 1999. He was probably New Zealand's best painter, in actual fact, the best painter that New Zealand's ever seen. He was better than Goldie. He changed his name to C.S. Goldie so that he could sign that name without being, breaking the law. And one of his punishments was also to paint the local public toilets. He told me that most of the Goldies around New Zealand were painted by him. And they still fool the so-called experts. There we are. So you can find that over at the Liberty NZ Facebook page. Don't bother friending us. You can if you want. Just follow. It's easier. Excuse me. I find when people want to friend me, they want to say, have you heard the news? I go, oh, yeah, yes, I have, actually. Yeah, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Or I'll say, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? And no, not that news. Well, that's the good news. That's what gospel means, the good news. No, they want to scam me, don't they? So I just have to block them. There we are. So don't bother. If you're a scammer, don't bother. I only want good people. And they seem to be assuming names of important people. They assume names of people that I know. So they're obviously getting into their Facebook account somehow. And then next thing you know, they're trying to friend me. And I'm thinking, oh, hang on. Because I've got two accounts. I've got Grant Edwards, my personal account. And then there's the Liberty NZ, the podcast Facebook page. So I never know. Oh, gosh. Should I friend them or not? And so normally I do. If I've got a good number of mutual friends, but even then I can get caught up. But I mean, what's the big deal? It doesn't really hurt, does it? So they're trying to scam you. First of all, they say, hi, how are you? Hello, dear. And all this sort of stuff. And so usually I just block them right there and then. I go, so I'm all right. And then I say, no. Capitals, no. And then they just ignore that. So it's probably AI or some little Indian in his mummy's basement. Do they have basements over there? Probably don't. That's probably more for the elite, isn't it? The Europeans, the British and the Kiwis and the Australians have basements. The Aussies and New Zealanders, we love basements, don't we? We do. Let's run down my Facebook page and just see what I've been complaining about. Well, first of all, let me see here. The empty tomb wasn't found on Easter. Oh, no, no. No, it was found after the Passover, at the beginning of the Days of Unleavened Bread, which runs for 7 days. Now, that year, Herod was waiting until after Easter because his wife was pagan, and she celebrated the goddess of fertility. Venus is one of her names, the other one Astarte. That's where we get Easter from, hence the eggs and stuff like that. Easter isn't Passover, even if the Greek uses the same Greek word. Only the King James Bible gets it right in Acts 12, verses 3 and 4. KJV, folks, it has all the words that you need. Read Sir Robert Anderson's book, The Coming Prince, for details of the dates, verified by the Royal Astronomer, who was a non-Christian, actually, the Royal Astronomer, but he verified his work in The Coming Prince, and you've got a free, I've put you there, I've given you a link to a PDF. You can actually read this book without having to buy it. And then I've got an image of Venus there. Look at that little pagan cross. There it is there. Well before Christ, they had the pagan crosses. And the old Easter egg on top. I suppose I don't know what that is. But anyway, she's one of them. So, yeah, and I've had a few people comment. What do they say? There we are, 6 comments. A few people comment. Some are good and some are bad. I've had a bit of bad commenting. I've had some silly people on there, you know, recently, but never mind. You get that, don't you? But you normally let them on until they say the F word and, you know, start, you know, getting abusive personal insults. We don't mind people contradicting us or disagreeing with us. That's fine, but not when they use ad hominem. Those are my two kids there back in 2005, I think it is. They're just little nippers there. I think he's about 3, Sebi. And Gabriella there holding on for dear life. There was just a weak gust of wind. We were just off Russell, I think it was. It was out to the right there. There was a passenger liner just coming. And all the wind picked up. But, you know, we always make sure. Good to let your kids do dangerous things carefully. Make sure you're carefully. And you can see there they've got harnesses on. Those harnesses are actually life jackets. So when they hit the water, which I hope they don't, but boy, it makes them, it transitions them. You know, your kids transition, don't they? From being happy little chaps to terrified, which is what sailing's all about, really, isn't it? It's just 19% boredom and 10% terror. But anyway, they were all right. We were keeping an eye on them. And it was a bit dangerous. It could have gone over the side. Would have been tricky, but I would have whipped up and scooped them up. People say, oh, you should have nets around it. No, you can't be protecting them too much. They've got to be able to do dangerous things carefully, and that's how they learn, according to Jordan Peterson. It's the only way they learn. Now, as you can see, I believe in allowing kids to do dangerous things carefully. I do. At some point, all kids eventually they transition. My children transitioned. They didn't transition into the opposite sex or some weird so-called gender. They transitioned from children to adults, and I'm very proud of them both. So I'll be transitioning as well from a father to a grandfather very soon because I've got the news. It's exciting. Can't wait. 12 minutes away from 7 with Grant Edwards, and we're whipping down the Liberty NZ Facebook page. What have we got? Oh, being cheeky here. How, any of them related to the former Green MP? Nah, she's more into the clothing, isn't she? $16,000 worth of groceries was allegedly taken from a supermarket by a family of thugs. I wonder where they were. Maris. Probably. Yeah, let's be honest. And then we've got the Gisborne mayor needs her head red. The graffiti is the so-called pride crossing. In my book, good on the locals for covering up that perverted nonsense. Now, I think it would have been, I'm pretty sure that I read that it was actually Brian Tamaki's mob. So they are doing some good things, aren't they? Some active, they're out there being active. It's nothing, there's nothing bigotry, there's no bigotry there. It's just that we don't want. Why should you graffiti our streets that we pay for as taxpayers? We're not all homosexuals. Why should we have to put up with your pride? We destroy it. Okay, and there we are. That's the Art Forger there. And there's a book, actually, A Good Joke. That's The Life and Crimes of Notorious Art Forger Carl Sims. He did actually change his name to C.S. Goldie. In the end, before he died, councils throughout New Zealand contraptions. Oh, yeah. Now, that's another thing. There's the calls to get rid of those e-scooters, to get them off the streets because, as the injuries soar. Council throughout New Zealand have allowed these contraptions on our streets as conditioning tool to get us ready for the smart city concept, where they imagine us riding them to work and to the shops. When I see them lined up in my area, I have this urge to push them all over. Don't you? I do, because I know what they're trying to do. They just get us used. It's just a conditioning tool. These half-witted kids, they were not a pro-Palestinian. They were pro-Hamas. Shame on the university for not throwing them out of the room, removing them from the campus permanently. Sydney University, what have they done? They have locked pro-Palestinian activists in the room with the Israeli university officials that came over to Australia for a meeting. And that story there is brought to you by skynews.com.au. And all the people, that's an old thought there. And that's that kid I was telling you about, that young child, young boy. We'll just have a very quick read. It's on One News. It's a really long story, a thorough report done on this. I'll just give you a bit of an idea. An autistic man considered, he's really a boy, he's only, he's just like a kid. Autistic, he's considered too risky to be released, has spent half his life locked away. But it is seclusion itself that's made him the risk. Has it, rather? Is it seclusion? It has. It's made him crazier. He's never appeared in court, and there's no trial. There hasn't been a conviction of or of the offence, which is just breaking windows. Yet, because he's considered so dangerous, Jay has spent, I think they changed his name, just protect the innocent, has spent half his life locked up in a secure facility with no release date in sight. For the last 4 years, he's lived in seclusion in a secure hospital facility. Well, why? Nearly two decades ago, Jay broke four windows of his neighbor's windows with an axe. The windows cost $900 to replace, and he was the only one injured in the incident after cutting his arm on broken glass. He was charged with willful damage, being in an enclosed yard without reasonable excuse. Maximum penalty for either offense is 3 months in prison or a $2,000 fine. But those punishments don't apply to Jay because he's intellectually disabled and autistic. So, because of his disabilities, strict suppression laws prevent Jay's real name, any identifying details, and some other details related to his case from being published. It was because of these disabilities that he was not allowed to plead guilty or to go before a jury. After being detained for 22 months in a community facility, Jay was found to be unfit to stand trial. Exempt from the criminal justice system, he was made a care recipient under the Intellectual Disability Compulsory Care and Rehabilitation Act of 2006 and ordered to live in a secure care facility. Experts have repeatedly assessed him as being too dangerous to release, and Jay has been held under the Act ever since. The Intellectual Disability Computer Care and Rehabilitation Act came into force in 2004 as a way to divert intellectually disabled offenders from prison following the closure of the psychopedic institutions in the 1990s. It is supposed to keep them, their carers, and the wider public safe. Now, two decades old, the law has never been reviewed. Human rights watchdog and some experts say it's no longer fit for purpose, and it's discriminatory. The United Nations, the Ombudsman, Human Rights Commission want the Act repealed and replaced, arguing that it contravenes international human rights standards, anti-torture conventions. They're actually torturing this poor kid. Veteran human rights lawyer Tony Ellis has been trying to get Jay's compulsory care order overturned for the last 8 years. Good grief. He believes the way Jay and others like him are treated because they have an intellectual disability is unjust and unfair. Nobody else in the country gets locked up for 18 years because they've broken some windows. It's absolutely cruel. I would really suggest going to onenews.co.nz, have a look at that story. It's really well done. Good investigation. They talked to Jay's mum, talked to other people that know him. And, none of the judges have actually met him. Many judges have kept him behind bars, or pretty much is. He's in the Mason Clinic. They're cruel, man. They are not nice to him. And so there's the Mason Clinic there where they keep him. But it's a really good story. Look, he writes quite neatly too. There, writes to the judge, sorry, judge, he's apologising, sorry I broke those windows. They've done a bit of artwork there. But sometimes he does say things like, oh, I'll cut your head off. Can't teach his head off. He thinks he's James Bond. And apparently these are some of the things. In 2003, an incident in which Jay brought a knife to school. We used to take knives to school, but we'd never think about hurting people with them. Although we used to play a game where you took your shoes off and you threw your knife at your own feet. Whoever did the splits first lost. That was a game we played. But we used to get knife taken off us for that. But we're allowed to take, you know, little pocket knives to school. Well, why not? I don't know. The world has gone crazy, isn't it? But we never even think about using one as a weapon. No. Every boy had a pocket knife in his pocket. That's why they're called pocket knives. Anyway, so in 2004, he climbed out of his bedroom window and he broke into a nearby school building, smashed the windows, stating that he was James Bond on a mission to cut teachers' heads off. That would have scared them a bit. Oh, how old was he then? That was a while ago, so he was only young then. Since being in care, he's also reportedly tried to steal and hide weapons on several occasions and made specific threats of harms towards certain staff, probably because they're cruel to him. He's also, because they've got incredible memories, these autistic kids, and he's also reportedly assaulted staff looking after him. Well, they've been assaulting him, because I've read this entire story over the weekend and I was shocked. It has to stop, folks. Has to stop. There needs to be, we've got to stop this from being cruel to intellectually disabled. I've always worried about that. You know, you get half-witted people that are looking after people and they take out their frustrations on them. It's not right. Jay's autism means that he has difficulty in differentiating between his fantasy and the real world's, was it real world? According to the Mason Clinic's lead forensic and intellectual disability psychiatrist, Myra Duff. Dr. Duff, she told the Court of Appeal that Jay means no harm to others, but fails to have a core understanding of the permanency of harm. For example, in relation to his fantasy about cutting off people's heads, Dr. Duff recorded that Jay believes that that his victims will get up and go home again after he's cut off their feet or heads. Yeah, not so good. Anyway, but it is a good story, and I'd recommend you go over and have a look at it. So we're still over on the Facebook page there, Liberty NZ. Also, we should be giving people like Robin Malcolm, they are the ones that should be getting the damehoods, not people, silly people like Jacinda Ardern. We should be giving them to the damehoods, not communist globalists who've driven our economy into the ground and vax murdered thousands of New Zealanders. No, it should be given to people like Robin Malcolm. She takes out the best actress gong at France Film Festival. She's won the international panorama section of the series. Apparently, let's have a quick look at that. We're over at onenews.co.nz and it's 2 minutes away from, I think it is, or 2 or 3 minutes away from seven. Yes, so she's taken out this gong. Malcolm won the award at the International Panorama section of the series Mania Film Festival in Lille, is it? Oh, I don't know. I'm not friggin' French. I'm not a frog. I wouldn't have a clue. She was recognised for her performance in After the Party, a series she co-created with writer Diane Taylor. And it was the first time an entry from New Zealand has been even considered for the award at the festival. Malcolm said it was a proud moment for her. She decided 10 years ago that she was going to stay in New Zealand. Look what they've written there. They've written the word starts with A. An A and I-O-O-T-R-I. Being that she was committed to telling New Zealand stories. Good on you, Robin. She said, we're a long, long way away and feel very, really feel that you when you're in the festival in the middle of France. Yep, it is. That's true. After the party follows Penny, played by Malcolm, who accuses her husband, Phil, of a sex crime against a teenager. Nasty. Bit of a cock. Nasty. But no one believes her. Oh, that's horrible, isn't it? And you tell the truth and no one believes you. The festival described Malcolm and her co-star, Paul Mullen, as an incredible pair who delivers a remarkable story about the weight of accusation and truth. Malcolm said the award has motivated her to create more stories. It would be great if you just sit there and write stories, you know. Wouldn't that be great? If you just write stuff and get paid lots of money for, you know, write screenplays or write a book. Lots of people writing books, but writing a screenplay, hey, and being an actress or an actor, if you're a bloke, be fantastic. Malcolm said the award has motivated her to create more stories to connect with different audiences. She says this kind of recognition is just proof that the story and the show are connected. Mm, yeah. And so that's what's driving us now. What a tickly throat. Don't know why. It's 7 o'clock. Well, near enough to it anyway, near enough to 7. So she said that that cuts being made to the TV and film industry here in New Zealand would make it even harder to tell those stories. And there is a little, nice little story there. It's at, who did that one? Radio New Zealand, I think. You can go and watch After the Party on TVNZ Plus. You can watch After the Party on TVNZ Plus. And that is brought to you by radionewzealand.co.nz. But in the first instance, but we're reading this latest from onenews.com. There we are. Let's move across to News Hub now because I'm getting a bit. We'll come back to News Hub. I'll have a quick skitter over it and see what's going on there. I'll be back in a moment. Yeah, it's almost 7.
Did you guys know you're supposed to eat till you're only 3/4 full?
Really?
Yeah, I was like, what did you
eat
till you're rich?
Stuffed.
3/4 full. They were like, yeah, you're supposed to always go to bed a little hungry all the time. Yeah. You have no idea, okay? There is no better joy for me than to eat something really fast, okay? And a lot of it, okay? A lot of it, till I'm so full, right? Like, oh my God, explosion! You know, so full, so uncomfortable, so that I could go to bed being like, ah, I made enough money today.
Is that it? Yeah, well, you're listening to the Liberty NZ podcast, radio breakfast show, and we're at the World at Noon. No, we're not. The World at Noon, I remember that when I was back at ZB. No, it is The World Gone Mad, and you're with Grant Edwards. That is my name. And we're over at the United States here. I am at newshub.co.nz, and the United States news, 6 remain missing after the major US bridge collapses. This is something rather Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, and so major U.S. bridge collapses. Authorities say the ship that collided with it lost power. Ah, when you lose power, chuck an anchor out. Doesn't always happen. A slow grid bank says the economy treading water at the moment, but predicts the OCR will drop later this year. And Jetstar sale, a Rarotonga or Gold Coast for just $159 domestic airfares. Be warned, folks. Watch out. There's always these little snags. And airfares from $30. And then the mass casualty event, a team diver research for missing people after the ship causes a major US bridge collapse. I'm sure there'll be a lot more people than just, well, they said one dead earlier on, didn't they, in that report from skynews.com.au. But Gisborne, Brian Tamaki not ruling out Destiny Church members painting over more rainbow crossings. Good on you, Brian. Good on you, boy. Good on you, mate. On you. And a second man has been arrested over the fatal Gisborne birthday brawl. Victims officially have been named. Russia security chief accuses Ukraine, US and UK of being behind the Moscow attack. Woo-hoo. And residents near South Auckland School told to stay inside after a gas leak. We might go to that story and read a bit more. For some reason I've got this tickly throat. I'm just going to have a quick slurp of coffee. I'll be back in a moment. I'm just going to bump the old microphone there. I'll be back in a minute.
Wine tastes better when you pour it from a heavier bottle.